لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد today إن شاء الله we'll read and we intend to complete the reading of the book Al-Arba'un Al-Nawawiyya of Al-Imam Yahya ibn Sharaf Al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah that we commenced on months ago. Today we will complete this reading inshallah. The first hadith we read is Al-Hadith Al-Tasi' wa Salatun. الحديث التاسع والثلاثون the 39th hadith. That hadith was reported from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم by بحر الأمة عبد الله بن عباس أبو العباس رضي الله عنهما wherein he said عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إن الله تجاوز لي عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما تكره عليه عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه reported that the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام that إن الله تجاوز لي عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما تكره عليه الإمام النووي said عليه رحمة الله هذا حديث حسن that this hadith is حسن رواه ابن ماجة الإمام ابن ماجة has reported this hadith والبيهقي الإمام بيهقي has reported it وغيرهما and others besides them both. This is the 39th hadith in Al-Arba'un. And as we said, it's been reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas. We know his kunya, Abu al-Abbas. His name is Abdullah and he is the son of Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who was also a Muslim. For Ibn Abbas, both his father, Hani, and his mother, Abbas, were Muslims. So, Ibn Abbas's mother, Ibn Abbas's father, were both Muslims. His father was Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthameen, in his sharh of Usul al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah, spoke about Ahlul Bayt and some of the uncles of the Prophet. He mentioned about six of them. Some of them died as kuffar, like Abdul Muttalib, and some of them died as Muslims, like Hamza and Al-Abbas. One of those also who also died as a kafir were people like Abu Lahab. So these people were like that. From that is that the message we will get from that also is what he told us in one of the hadiths we read, alayhi salatu wasalam, where he said, man bata'a bihi amaluhu. The one whose action puts him backwards, his linear relationship will not support him. The fact that they were uncles of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not say that they would not enter the fire as they died as kufar. So Al-Abbas was a Muslim, he died in his own case was a Muslim, and he died as a Muslim. So when we say Abdullah ibn Abbas, we are going to say radiyallahu anhuma. And for him, aside Abdullah, he also had other children, like Fadl, the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he died earlier radiyallahu anhu. But he was also a companion because he also has a hadith. In fact, among the scholars of hadith, that hadith is called Hadith of Fadl. That once, during the time of Hajj, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam rode and Fadl rode behind him. And that he saw the woman Bintu Khafaniya. That hadith is also called Hadith Binti Khafaniya. And that when they were coming from Muzdalifah, they were going to throw the pebbles. Fadl was looking at the face of the woman. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. It has riwayat from Ibn Abbas and from Fadl himself. So that hadith was the hadith of Fadl Ibn Abbas, the younger brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas. We just want to mention Fadl and something for which he is known, because that hadith has so many things around it. The hadith of Fadl, or the hadith of Binti Khafaniya. So Abdullah ibn Abbas reported this hadith, radiallahu anhu. He is one of the most learned people in this ummah in every aspect of the ulum that are connected to the Sharia. The aspects of tafsir, the aspects of hadith, the aspects of Arabiya, the aspects of... Think of it, Ibn Abbas. And he is from amongst those who, according to him, who went blind before he died. So he said that he believes that this is Bushra from Allah, that he will put him into Al-Jannah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he lived, he came to Ta'if, and he finally died in Ta'if. So he said he believes that his going blind at the end of his life is from good glad tidings to him from Allah, that he will enter Al-Jannah. Because of what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the one whom he takes his two habib, he says habibatayhi, the one whose habibatayhi, he was two beloved, two eyes I take for sabara, and he is patient, I will replace with Al-Jannah for him on the day of Qiyamah. So he said radiallahu anhuma, he considers that as from Bushra, because they don't die with shame, they make benefits with shame and difficulties, the companions of Allah. Then a difficulty, they make benefit to the difficulty. So that he went blind, he made benefit with his going blind. That is being patient and looking forward to Al-Jannah from his blindness. Some people get lost from difficulty because they will not be patient and they will not look forward to Allah's rahmah after that difficulty. So it will be difficulty upon difficulty. So we should learn to make profit. Make lime sweet by adding sugar to it, not making lime further bitter. Lime is not ordinarily sweet, but we can make it an enjoyable drink when we add sugar to it. So we should add sugar to our limes. This is from the benefits we get from the life of Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas died, radiallahu anhu. Something came to my mind now. When he died and he was buried, because this story, if you read Siyar Alamul Nubala, the Imam al-Zahabi mentioned that the Qissa, his chain of narration, is reliable. That when Ibn Abbas died, he bled few out of the grave into which he was to be put, a white bird. And the voice was heard, that يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. That you come to return to your Lord being pleased with, and you also being pleased. You are pleased with, and you are pleased with the one who is pleased with you. So this story, if you follow up the chain of narration, it contains udul, and it's not asanid mutasila, that is, there's connection between every authentic, every reliable reporter in every level of the chain of narration. And it is not known to have contained ilal from the aspects of ruwat. But the ulama say that the matun is shav, that it has ilal from the aspects of his matun. That is, it has hidden defects that is not known except to the scholars of hadith, in the wording of the hadith, the expression of the hadith. Yes, it contains reliable narrators, and they are both reported from one another, but it has illa from the aspects. One of them said to me that it has nakara. It has things that are contradicted by authentic narrations from the Quran and the hadith, because that is not even known to have taken place when the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the bird came from where he was to be buried. And they were saying that bird represented the knowledge of Ibn Abbas, that this was his knowledge that came into a bird and flew away. This is not known in the Sharia, that knowledge becomes a bird and flows away, or that knowledge is a bird. So the ulama have criticized this narration, despite that it has been reported by those people, that it has a matin, it has a matin that is deformed by Hilal al-Qadiha, hidden defects that render a narration weak. This narration is not authentic. Some of the people have read Rijal Hawla Rasul, and they shout out to this kisah, because they have not cared to see or read or hear what the scholars of hadith say about that. They have been just concerned about the fact that they have read it. It's a story. But it's not permissible in the Sharia to report a narration until you have verified its authenticity, so that you not be saying about Allah or about the messenger or about the companions and those who went by something that is not known to be authentic. So that is for summarily, it's not authentic. It's not authentic. So if you say, they say that it is reported by Sikot and the Israeli standard and all of it, does not end there. Because all of that is not only what makes the hadith to be sahih. It must be free from shubuh, and it must also be free from illatun qadihah. And this illa or shubuh, I can't explain this thing. So most of these things we have been talking about them, some of those shubuh could come from the aspects of the matin, and some of those illatun qadihah, that is hidden defects that render a narration weak, could also come from the aspects of the matin. What has before this narration of Ibn Abbas is from the aspects of the matin, the wording of the hadith. It's contradicted by authentic and established verses of the Quran and narration from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since after that, none has been reported by anybody. It's not known to have been said by the Prophet that knowledge is a bird, a white bird, because to people, everything that is white is good. Yes. It's from the ways of the deception of Shaitan that everything that is white is good. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in his book, At-Tawassul, that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, he has many narrations. It's not a Sufi, basically, as some of the scholars like Al-Imam Al-Zahabi have mentioned. Abdul Qadir Jilani, most of the narrations that have been reported about him are not authentic. Unfortunately, the Sufi have spread themselves to him. Abdul Qadir Jilani is known to be from the scholars. Abdul Qadir al-Jilani is known al-Baghdadi. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir also mentioned him in his book, Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya. Unfortunately, these are people that the Sufiyah have ascribed themselves to, but they are not ascribed to Sufiyah, even when they are known to be Ubad, people who were engrossed in a lot of worship and prayer. They were not Sufis. So Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani was mentioned by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah in his book, Al-Tawassul, to have been engrossed in his worship in one day in the masjid. And he was covered up by light. And in that light, a voice was presenting a golden cup to him, which contained milk for his drink. This is honor from your Lord. And he said, A'udhu billah, and the light disappeared. What we are trying to say here is the issue of light and white things. Things like this deceive people. So when he saw it, he received. Then the light came again. Oh, Abdul Qadir, you have been saved by the abundance of knowledge that Allah has given to you. He said, A'udhu billah. And the light went off again. So the light went off again. If he called again. So subsequently he narrated to the people and he said the reason why he did not accommodate that light as anything was because the golden utensils have been predicted this ummah to drink from. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had predicted us from drinking from golden utensils. How do you say you honor me by something which is containing a prohibition? Allah has prohibited drinking with golden utensils. How do you say now it is honor for me to drink with golden utensils? So he says, A'udhu billah, this is definitely from Shaitan. If it is from the Awam, they will think that it is from Allah because it is white light. So and then it came again and said, oh, you have been guided by abundance knowledge that you have. He said, no, I've been guided by Allah. He wanted me to depend on myself and think that I had been guided by myself. So he said, A'udhu billah in the two incidents. What we are trying to say is that everything that is wife and life does not mean guidance until Kitab and Sunnah is established to be from it. So say that the white bird came from the grave side of the Abbas is nothing until we have Kitab and Sunnah as the instruments of verification for those things. We say, okay, accepted. Else we say rejected. No matter how amazing, quote unquote, that event maybe. Let's hold it on our hands because it will help us to distinguish between Karamatul Awliya and Ahwal Shaytaniyah. That is Karamat that Allah does for His beloved servant and Ahwal Shaytaniyah that happens to people of soothsaying and magic. Any person who does anything, all we have to know is his deen, how upon the Sunnah he is. That will make us know whether what has happened to him is a karama or is from the ahwal shaytani. It can happen to anybody. And each person too should not be deceived by that. Don't deceive yourself too. If something happens to you like that, watch yourself properly. Because it will be a karama for you or even istidraj. Something by which Allah wants to give you more rope to hang yourself. Yes. May Allah save us from that istidraj. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is what we are talking about. He reported this hadith radiallahu anhuma from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qal that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said inna Allah certainly Allah tajawaza li an ummati al-khata. Allah has overlooked tajawaza. He has overlooked, he has left that, not holding us responsible for it. The Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad is Ummatun Marhumah. It is an Ummah that Allah is pleased with. Allah loves it, gives it a lot of blessings. He did not give to Ummah that went past. So from that is that Al-Khata, Tajawaza Anhu. He overlooked for them. He will not hold them responsible for it. If they commit sins as a result of these three things, with explanation, the first one is Al-Khaf. So, Inna Allah tajawaza li an ummati. Allah has overlooked for my ummah. Three things. The first one, Al-Khaf. Mistake. Khaf. Mistake. A person makes a mistake in his salah, for example. It's not held responsible. But he was only told what to do to complete for the mistake. So from the side of Allah, he's not writing a sin for him. He has sinned. He has to do what he has to do. Because he made a mistake. The second one is one nisyan. Forgetfulness. A man forgets to eat in the afternoon of Ramadan. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah fed him. He drank water. I said, oh, Allah provided water. He forgot. He drank water. Some of the scholars have said that it's not possible for a man to forget that he's in Ramadan and then he cohabits with his wife. A man cohabits with his wife in the afternoon of Ramadan. Oh, I forget that in Ramadan. Is it possible that someone forgets that? It's possible. Huh? It's not possible. It's possible. Scholars have said all. Some say it is possible. Some say no. So you can talk from now till tomorrow. It is possible, it is not, it may not be possible. So but the one who did that, he knew that it was wrong. His shahwa overpowered. So he did not know that there is kafara. That's why he is told to make kafara. But he didn't say he forgot. That is why he says, in some riwayat, I have destroyed myself. So, one who makes a mistake and the one who forgets and then commits something that the Sharia prohibits, they are overlooked. And mistake and forgetfulness are from the defects, from the frailties of knowledge of creatures, we human beings. Mistake and forgetfulness attack our knowledge. It is one of the things by which we cannot compare our knowledge with Allah's knowledge. Allah does not make a mistake, and Allah does not forget. And that was why Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told Fir'aun, La yadhillu rabbi wa la yanfa. Yadhillu rabbi, la yukhfi'u rabbi. My own Lord does not forget. Wa la yanfa. He does not make a mistake. Wa la yanfa. He does not forget. Allah does not make a mistake. And Allah does not forget. Since wa ma kana rabbuka, your Lord does not forget. He's never forgetful. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, we make mistakes and we forget. So if you say we have knowledge, Allah has knowledge, so we should say that Allah does not have knowledge, so that we will not be comparing ourselves with Allah. We say, yes, we will not compare ourselves with Allah. But the fact that we have knowledge does not mean that Allah does not have knowledge. Or the fact that Allah has knowledge does not mean that we don't have knowledge. And the fact that we say knowledge with respect to us, and knowledge with respect to him, does not mean that knowledge in every sense with respect to us is knowledge in every sense with respect to him. Look at sight. Even we seated here, do we all see accurately the same manner? And we all see. And sight is sight. If this difference is occurring amongst creatures, what about the difference between the creator and the creature? So that we say and affirm, we believe that we have knowledge and Allah has knowledge, does not mean that we have ascribed or compared our knowledge with that of Allah or vice versa. And it is not in any way alike. So Allah's knowledge does not fall prey to khata and nisyan. But we human beings, our knowledge falls prey to khata, mistakes, errors, and nisyan, forgetfulness. So we are not held responsible for what over which we don't know. So these two things come under jahal, the one who does not know. That's why from the evidences that the scholars of usul have brought in support of the qaida that la taklif ala al-mukallaf illa ma'a al-ilmi wal-qudrati wal-ikhtiyar. La taklif ala al-mukallaf. The legally responsible is not held responsible. We are all legally responsible. Mukallafun. La taklif alayna. We will not be held responsible by Allah illa ma'al ilm, except that we did what we did out of knowledge. So when it is out of khata and nisyan, it says tajawaza an ummati. So we are not held responsible. Illa ma'al ilmi. The other one is wal qudra, ability to do that thing. It says faman istarra ghayra baghin wala 'adin. It says faman istarra fi mahmasatin ghayra mutajanifin. It's not able there not to eat those things that are prohibited. He does not have qudra. So he's also forgiven. He's not held responsible. And the last one is ikhtiyar, which is the other aspect of this hadith. Wa mastukrihu alayhi. Ikhtiyar is choice. We are not also held responsible to have, a man will not be held responsible to have committed shirk if he uttered a statement of shirk while he's being showed a gun. You have to tell me this now, blow off your head. Ulama say you have to be sure that that person is able to do what he's saying before it is permissible. If it's a man that says, I'll shoot you now, like soldiers. If a soldier man sees an armed robber, and an armed robber says he shoot a soldier, the soldier does not believe that the armed robber can kill him. He has a psychological disposition that before the armed robber shoots, he will collect the gun from him. That's how they are trained. In the real sense, what we are saying is, the man says, I will kill you if you don't say a statement of shirk. And you know that he can't do that. And then you utter a statement of shirk. This hadith does not cover you. The threat must be certain. Either you do not eat something that is not permitted or claim barura, being in a situation of barura, until the darura is certain. Because what he says is, someone is turra. The one who is really, really pressed under their necessity. So he says, غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِسٍ لِإِسْمِ. Not the one who is inclined. غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَيْدٍ. It's not, he is himself not interested in sinning. But some people are interested in, for example, committing zina. He says, oh, she's the one who did it to me. She's the one who compelled me. But you were interested too. In fact, you followed all the circumstances that led to it. And then you say, no, she's the one who did this. She's the one who... Like a lecturer in an office. He has an office. He closes the door. Here comes in wearing dirty clothes. He didn't tell her to go away. Or tell her to go and call male people so that it will be more, at least reduce the fitna. So he said, I say, close my door. The girl closes the door. And she started misbehaving in his front. He didn't tell her to go out. He himself didn't run away like Nabi Yusuf Ali. He sat down there. The girl saying, she's the one who did it. She's the one who did this to us. Laugh. This hadith does not cover you. So this ummah is forgiving three things. Khata, what we commit out of mistake. Wal nisyan, what we commit out of forgetfulness. And what? Wa mastukrihu alayhi. That's upon which the person is forced. He's forced to do those things. And that was why in the Quran these things are also established. Allah told us in Baqarah that لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِن تُبَدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, وَإِن تُبَدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Where if you say, you make known what is in your heart, أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ, or you hide it, يُحَاسِبُكُمْ اللَّهِ, Allah will hold you responsible for it. Will be held responsible for everything that we think about. The companions, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim. The companions, radiallahu anhum, went to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are we going to be held responsible? The man just thinks that this is a nice girl. He wishes that he commits zina with her. And then he will be held responsible. He's not even done it. He's not even resolved to do it. Not less of doing it. Or moving about doing it. Just thinking, will be held responsible. The Prophet said to them, alayhi salatu wasalam, are you going to behave like Bani Israel? Who are going to say that Samina wa Asaina? He said, okay, Samina wa Asaina. Look at those people. We are going to be held responsible for something that comes in our mind. We've not decided that we will do it. So he said to them, alayhi salatu wasalam, are you going to behave like Bani Israel? Are you not going to say Sami'na wa Ata'na? That is, even when you don't like that thing, even when that thing looks as it looks to you, are you not going to accept? So they say, Sami'na wa Ata'na. Aha. This Sami'na wa Ata'na end them Allah's rahmah. So Allah says, Amala Rasul. بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله. This affirms the iman of the companion. Allah says, آمن الرسول. The companion, the messenger, عليه الصلاة والسلام, the messenger believed. بما أنزل إليه من ربه. He believed. The prophet believed. That was why I was asking him, will you not believe? You want to believe like Bani Israel who says, Samina wa Asayna? So he believed in what was revealed to him from his Lord. Wal-mu'minun, and these companions. There is no mu'min on the earth at the time except the companions. Wal-mu'minun, these companions too believe. Says, kullun amana billah, each of them. Each of them? Each of them. Amana billah. Allah is with that. The one who sees half. He said, companions, each of them believe. Did they not believe? He said, how is this thing? I said, will you not believe? He said, okay, we agree. If it was a lie, this verse would have belied them. This verse affirms that they were true to have said, because it's like a 180 degree turn. We don't believe. How does this thing be like, will you not say we believe? So I say, okay, amana rasul. Bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun. He says, kullun amana billah wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. They say that لا نفرق بين أحد من رسلنا وقالوا سمينا وأطعنا. That they are سمينا وأطعنا. Allah says وقالوا. They say we hear and we obey. غفرانك ربنا. Okay, we'll be held responsible. But when we are held responsible, please forgive us now. وإليك المصير. We come back to you in the end. Allah now says لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا This is the news they were waiting for. But what brought that news? Iman and sabr. He believed first. Then they got something they wanted in the first place. Allah changed it because of them. For their iman. So he turned it around. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. No soul burden over what he is able to contain. Laha ma kasabat wa alayha maktafa. So what they say, Ya Rabbana la tu'akhizna inna shina aw akhtana. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Allah said, Qad fa'altu. That Rabbana, our Lord, la tu'akhizna. Don't hold us responsible now. Inna shina, when we forget, aw akhtana, or we err. They are not even talking about intention again now. Even when we are backed in error, or in forgetfulness, forgive us. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu, that Allah said, God fa'alt, I have agreed with what he said, I have done it for you. This verse of the Quran and this hadith affirms this hadith that La tu'akhizna in nasina aw akhta. When we forget, I'll make a face. It says, Inna Allah qad tajawaza li an ummati al-khata wa nasiyan. So we are forgiven. This ummah is forgiven. Don't forget, by the iman of those who came before us. So we are benefiting. We came later, but we are benefiting from that too. So this ummah is forgiven errors and forgetting. That's why he didn't quickly say people are kuffar. Yes. He could say in error. He made a mistake. Perhaps he wanted to say something, he said something else. It makes us understand that we give people ropes to give them enough space. The man wanted to say something. How many a time does the man intend to say something and he says something? One. How many a time? That was why when Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As was writing everything the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, people were saying that, are you writing everything that he's saying? A human being is not supposed to prove and everything that he's saying, you are writing it. Because what is normal, the common thing with human beings is that when they say, as they say what they say, they care. You want to say A, they say B. Many times. One of the brothers here, we played an audio. That audio was done about 3 years ago. Sheikh Jafar Mahmoud died when? 4 years ago. That audio was done just before he died. Because that program held about a week after he left the place at Bonny Island, far away from the Calcutta, about 2 hours on the sea. So I was saying there that the Prophet ﷺ said to the people on the day of Arafah on Mount Uhud that Hal balagtu. When I said on the day of Arafah, shouldn't I have known that it was on Mount Arafah and not Uhud? Uhud is in Medina. And there is wide difference between Mount Arafah and Mount Uhud. And I continued to say, oh, Mount Arafah. So how many of such? This I don't know. Think of others. Qatar. And in fact, that was not what the man intended. The man intended something else completely. Why was it something else? So this is the way Allah created men. So they were telling Ibn Amr ibn al-As, why are you writing everything? And say, oh, me, I'm different too. Uktubha. إِنَّهُ لَا يَخْرِجْ مِنْهَا. He pointed to his lips. إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Me, I'm different. I'm Nabi, I'm Rasul, Ma'asul. So we say, look, write what you write, Ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah. Because nothing comes out of this. إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Except the truth. Else, the normal thing with human beings that he told you, huh? He makes mistakes. He wants to say something else. There are others I can point to. Let's leave that. So it will not be as if we are mentioning the errors of scholars. If you listen to audios, you will hear these things like this are many from scholars. Even in books. When people complain, some of the scholars have mentioned, for example, Al-Ruh, Al-Imam Al-Hafiz, Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah. The scholars have complained that a lot of errors in the book, Al-Ruh. One of those who mentioned that was Al-Imam Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah. What did he say? He said, perhaps that those are from his books he wrote in his early days, before he became as learned as he later became. He gave him a excuse because of the errors. And when he wrote Zad al-Mi'ad, he also complained that there are a lot of narrations that are weak. They say it was because he wrote Zad al-Mi'ad on a journey. Zad al-Mi'ad is in 4 volumes. He wrote it while on a journey. One of it is Tibb al-Nabawi. He wrote Tibb al-Nabawi on a journey. In the time, on his head. When you are on a journey, what do? Just talk. They wrote on a journey. In Sheikh al-Albani, in Sahih Sirat al-Nabawiyah, he also wrote it on a journey. He mentioned in Muqaddimah. He felt, oh, he's in the journey. He visited the person. Where is your library? This is my library. You have these books? Okay. What can I do with this time? He took Sirah of Nabi by Ibn Hisham. And he started making tahqiq. The same thing he did with his tahqiq and ikhtisar of Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah. The book we'll read next, inshallah. Sheikh al-Albani visited it. He said, oh, this is your library? Okay. He said, what can I do here? He picked a book and he started doing the tahqiq, the verification and editing of the hadith in the book. On his journey. So it was mentioned in Muqaddimah that because of access to books, it is possible that you find some errors. I'm able to do this work based on access to books. The books, what I was able to get with what I have is what you are saying. Perhaps if I have access to more books, the book will be better. There are many like that. How is this such a mistake? Just quickly give them their skills. So how many times? Many times. Like that. So this Ummah is forgiving khata. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا اجْتَحَدَ الْحَاكِمُ
فأصاب فله أجران. And if he makes a mistake, إذا أخطأ فله أجر واحد. So there is no issue of sinning there. If he makes a mistake and is really a person capable of doing legal deductions from the Sharia, makes a mistake, he has one reward for making effort. But he's not held responsible to have judged. This hadith is the evidence why he didn't, he was not held responsible. We have many hadiths to read today. We have to go on. So what we are forced to do, we are not also held responsible. This hadith, Imam al-Nawawi said, hadithun hasan. This hadith is hasan. Rawahu ibn Majah. Imam ibn Majah has reported the hadith. والبيهكي and Imam Bayhaqi, Abu Bakr ibn Ahmad al-Bayhaqi, if I remember vividly. وغيرهما and others applied to the both of them. From those who said that the hadith is authentic is Sheikh al-Albani. He mentioned in his Tahqiq of Sunan ibn Majah that this hadith is authentic. The next hadith.